Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Lynn S. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Friday, May the 15th, 2026, and we are reading from the big book in the chapter More About Alcoholism. This morning we're on page 38, the first paragraph, On Through the Years, and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Mary S., 12 Traditions, Tenzin P., and readers of the text, Tamara C., Jane S., and Colleen M. The reference numbers for Thursday, May the 14th, the 7 a.m. meeting, 23460. That's 23460. And the 10 a.m. meeting, 23461. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And this morning, Mary F. is going to read the 12 steps for us. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Lynn. This is Mary F., a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater calling in from Virginia. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to give service.
Thank you, Mary F. And Tenzin P. is going to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Tenzin.
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. And here are our beautiful 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsive eating. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much. I pass.
Thank you, Tenzin P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 38, the first paragraph, On Through the Years. And we will be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And this morning, Tamara C. is going to read for us. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you. This is Tamara C., and I'm very grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Missouri. On through the years, this conduct continues, accompanied by his continual promises to be careful or to keep off the streets altogether. Finally, he can no longer work. His wife gets a divorce and he is held up to ridicule. He tries every known means to get the jaywalking idea out of his head. He shuts himself up in an asylum, hoping to mend his ways. But the day he comes out, he races in front of a fire engine, which breaks his back. Such a man would be crazy, wouldn't he? So here, this poor jaywalker, his behavior, absurd and incomprehensible, he's just like me, going back to what causes me so much pain and suffering. And it was interesting to me that on through the years, and this is after he's decided to stop for good, but this continues. And I can see this progression of his illness started out as fun, and then he started to become concerned, and then he was done forever, and he still couldn't stop. And I can relate to that progression of my disease, starting out to be my friend and turning into be an enemy so harmful. I really wanted and really needed to stop. And it continued on. I found myself eating against my will, going back after being stopped. This is absurd and incomprehensible. It was baffling to me. And I did make promises to myself. One very painful part of my experience is this back and forth struggle of should I just give up? I I don't seem to be able to stop. Why am I fighting it? It's so painful to fight it. I'll just give up. And then thinking, well, I can't just give up. I'm going to die in this disease. I have to keep trying. So keep promising myself, and became more and more discouraging. Finally, there was just nothing left but despair, very dark, awful despair. And I did try every known means that I could come up with, and they were all based on self-reliance. I tried to will myself into controlling my food behaviors. I tried to love myself. I tried to scare myself, shame myself. I tried to educate myself. And I would try to think, you know, I just need a fresh start, like a new meal plan, or I need some accountability. I once joined a contest. There were some friends, and we all put in some money, and whoever lost the most amount of weight in a certain given time was going to get the money. And I just immediately sabotaged the whole thing, and I thought, you know, well, they're just better than I am. But, you know, it's not. I'm not less of a person. I'm just different. I have an illness. I have a compulsion that is much bigger and stronger than me, this compulsion to go back to the behaviors that hurt me. And the good news is, you know, once I finally become out of ideas, then I'm open to a solution that centers around admitting to myself that I'm never going to get control. I can give up the fantasy that I will figure this out. And then I'm open to step two and the rest of the steps. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Tamara C., for getting us started. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. Excuse me. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It really does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Rita P.
Kathy S.
Rivka R.
Nancy P.
Okay, if we could stop just for a minute, please, because I missed some people right off the get-go. I heard somebody D, then I heard Kathy S., Rivka R., and Nancy P. Who did I miss, please?
Marlon G.
R.
Okay, I'm sorry. Anne Out of Marie. All of the people, the only person I heard was Harlan and Anne Marie. Who else did I miss, please?
It's Dorita P.
Darian
okay.
K.
All right. I think I have a lineup. Harlan, I got you. Thank you. Okay. Gosh, this one rule thing. Anyway, let's see who I've got. I've got Dorita P., Kathy S., Rivka R., Nancy P., Harlan G., Anne Marie, I think it's Anne Marie M., and I believe I've missed somebody. Who was that, please?
Kelsey R. Darian. Okay.
Oh, Darian, there you are. Darian K., and who was the R lady?
Kelsey R.
Kelsey. Okie dokie, got everybody. We have Dorita P., Kathy S., Rivka R., Nancy P., Harlan G., Anne-Marie M., Kelsey R., and Darian K. Okay, good morning, Dorita. Please go ahead and tell us where you're calling from. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. My name is Dorita Pippin. I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm really grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason, so I'm really grateful I have a seat here. I'm going to read this again for myself and for those who came on late. On through the years, this conduct continues, accompanied by his continual promises to be careful or to keep off the streets altogether. Finally, he can no longer work, his wife gets a divorce, and he is held up to ridicule. He tries every known means to get the jaywalking idea out of his head. He shuts himself up in an asylum, hoping to mend his ways. But the day he comes out, he races in front of a fire engine, which breaks his back. Such a man would be crazy, wouldn't he? And it just speaks to me of the powerlessness. And that was me. You know, thank you for the first share. Just my, I guess, vain attempt. That's what they Bigfoot call it, vain attempt to do the impossible. And I just tried so many things to lose weight because that was my whole thing. My disease only manifests in weight gain or binging. Those are the ways my disease manifests. And so I just tried a lot of different diets. I tried fasting, all kind of stuff to control my eating, and nothing worked. And I'm so grateful that I came to Overeaters Anonymous, and I'm grateful that I learned that I was not a bad person for not being able to stop eating. I was a sick person. And, most of the sponsors, most of the people I asked to sponsor me, you know, they want me or ask me or request it, however you want to say it, for me to stop eating before they could help me. And if I could stop eating before I get help, I wouldn't need help, I think. So right now God is sponsoring me, and he's doing a pretty good job. My food is getting better, it's getting much better. And so I'm just really grateful for this program, and I will pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorita P. Kathy S., good morning. It's your turn, followed by Rivka R. Hi, Kathy.
Hey, Lynn, thank you so much. This is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia, and I'm very grateful to be here. I have related to the Jaywalker recently in a whole new way. Yesterday's meeting, we talked about the rush of, and I was like, that is what I'm looking for in a binge. There's a rush in getting all that pleasure at once. And I fail to remember all of the pain, the suffering, the breakage, the pain of the aftermath. My disease crowds that out. And on through the years is the phrase I want to focus on, because it's on through the years. I mean, this disease, it did. It took a lot of years for me to get abstinent, for me to accept that I'm a real compulsive overeater. But on through the years starts to sound like it drags on. And that's started to sound like my recovery process. What I fail to remember is this disease, it is progressive. We hear about that. Like somebody said yesterday, he goes from skipping to racing in front. And not only that, but the size of the cars. It goes from fast-moving cars to trolley to fire truck. And this is true of my disease. And also, so like when I just kind of continuing on throughout the years, what happens is I get far enough away from the binge, so the urgency kind of leaves. And the idea keeps coming back into my head that it would be a good idea to binge. And like yesterday's meeting, when we talked about the rush, I'm like, oh, that's it. That's why, because I'm looking for a rush, because life is kind of, I'm at peace. There's not any drama happening right now. I don't have kids getting married or a shower to plan or parents in the hospital at the moment, So that must be what the problem is. No, it's because I'm, starting to sit back, and all of a sudden I'm hearing these sirens of the fire truck coming. I'm ready to jump out in front, thinking it's a good idea maybe to binge to add a little spice to my life. It's because this disease, I'm a real compulsive overeater. I have to take action in recovery. That means hitting star one. That means sponsoring. That means making outreach calls and making them fresh. And it means, checking in with people who don't have that desire anymore, who tell me what they do, and it works. I have to, this is a program of action. These 12 steps, they get me to a connection with God, but I have to continue to foster it. I have to continue on this path, and I have to, in accepting who I am as a real compulsive overeater, I have to do this, and it is serious. And I'm so grateful today for this fellowship and for the opportunity to share and for what God has done in and through my life. I'm here as a witness, and I'm grateful for that. Thank you, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kathy S. from Georgia. Rivka R., it's your turn, followed by Nancy P. Hi, Rivka.
Good morning. Thank you, Lynn, for your service, and Tamara, for your lead chair and all the wonderful chairs. I'm Ms. Rivka R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Maryland. So he tries every known means to get the jaywalking idea out of his head. My favorite means was deciding to eat all my favorite binge foods in one sitting and, get it out of my system. And usually the next day I would be right back eating those binge foods that I swore I would never eat again. These people are talking about the insanity of obsession. I couldn't care less about consequences or the people that I love. I was like hypnotized. Ingesting alcoholic foods absolutely hypnotized me. And I looked up the word hypnotize, and the dictionary said to deaden judgment or resistance. And that was me. No judgment, no resistance. And I once heard a story about a guy who was hypnotized to put his chair on the table when he left the room. And he'd resolved to resist the hypnotic suggestion. And he left the room, actually, and he did not put his chair on the top of the table. But a few minutes later, he came back and he angrily slammed his chair down on top of the table. That's what it felt like. I could not resist on my own power the hypnotic suggestion of this obsession in my brain, which was, eat this or die. And being restored to sanity from this hypnotic insanity only happened through working the steps and wanting God in my life, not as an ATM machine, but as the only reality that can break through this illusion and the delusion of my self-centeredness. And here's a great perk. Once I've been restored to sanity around the food, I get to see how my thinking has been hypnotizing a lot of other areas. I was hypnotized to believe others were to blame for my emotions, and I was hypnotized to believe that I wasn't good enough and I was a failure and I needed validation from others to have value. And being released from that hypnotic hell where I'm doing absurd and incomprehensible things and be able to choose God and choose life and choose not to hurt myself and live in reality and gratitude and surrender, there's no greater blessing. And it's simply the most loving way to live, and it's available for all of us. And so grateful to be here and for everyone on the line. And you all tell my story every day, and I'm so grateful. And I pass. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you, Rivka R. from Maryland. Nancy P., it's your turn, followed by Harlan G. Hey, Nancy.
Hey, Lynn. Good morning. Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. So I decided to share today just based on through the years, just that phrase. And, as I'm listening to the other shares and looking at the paragraph, I see that that's the only thing that matters to me in this paragraph is on through the years. It was just over and over and over again. I mean, this guy has self-knowledge. He knows. He says, I'm going to stay off the streets. I'm going to, do this, do that, and do the other. So, all I can think of is the day that I was in my car sobbing over my having eaten my afternoon dozen donuts and, donuts and sugar everywhere, sobbing in my car because I knew what my fate was. And the reason I knew that, being the data-driven chick that I am, is because I had done the same thing the day before and the day before and the day before. So I knew there was no reason that I wasn't going to do it the next day and the next day and the next day. I mean, that was it. And my life was a disaster. I was in my car waiting to pick up my daughter, who was cutting and burning herself, to take her to some therapy appointment. And, my job was on the brink of disaster and, everything. And I could not stop eating. And, I don't know, nor do I care, what made me pick up my phone and call my dear friend who I've known for 50 years in this program and tell her choking it out that I couldn't stop eating. And she told me about this meeting. And, you know, I tell my sponsees this. All I heard was that it was a phone meeting, and that's what I said, phone meeting. But she heard what I was thinking, which was a lot of swear words, and I'm not doing it. And she said, no, 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 this one's different. And, you know, she gave me the phone number, and I threw it in my tote bag, and I took it out November 30th of 2017. And as I was cleaning out my bag with the tubs to wash for the next day, and I thought, am I going to try this again? Like, how is this going to work, really? And the only reason that I did that is because I had a doctor's appointment the next morning, so I didn't have to go right into work. And I have not had to hurt myself with food since that day. That's almost 8.5 years ago. And, you know, I don't care what it was that forced me to pick up my phone and confess, I hate that word, but to share my pain with a person who I know cares about me. I always say it's, I don't know who it is or what it is or what happened, but I think it was having coffee with the other ones and saw me sobbing and said, you know what, I think this one's had enough. I think I'm going to pluck her back from the gates of death and set her on the right path. And, you know, I went through the steps with someone in whom the problem had been solved, who was not my friend and is not my friend, I'll wrap up. And all I can say is, I don't care about it anymore. I don't care about food. I don't care about that stuff anymore. And only one thing, and one thing only one thing has done the job for me. And everybody say it with me, surrender, surrender, surrender. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy P. from Massachusetts. Harlan G., you're up, followed by Anne Marie M. Good morning, Harlan.
Good morning, Lynn. I'm outside walking, so please don't be gentle with your reminder. Be loud and proud. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. What is the point of the jaywalker? What is the illustration? The illustration is a parable that comes from Peabody's Common Sense of Drinking, that illustrates the progressive nature of the disease. In every sentence of the description of the jaywalker, the vehicles get bigger and more dangerous, as was mentioned. The consequences of his jaywalking become more serious. So in every sentence of the jaywalker, we can see and track the progressive nature of this disease. So now that I understand that the disease is progressive, now what am I going to do? Does that mean I eat less? Well, that's part of it, because it says on through the years, as was discussed, but on through the years and I eat less. What do I know? Abstinence does not treat this disease. Now, I hear some of you falling down when I say that, because I get a lot of negative blowback, but I'm going to say it again, not to be a jerk, but to inform and share. Abstinence alone does not treat this disease. Only a spiritual awakening as the result of the steps treats this disease. And on the bottom of page 14, the paragraph beginning with, my friend had emphasized the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles. What are the principles? They're the steps in all my affairs. That's Ebby talking to Bill about the importance of sponsorship. I see people every day or hear from people every day that don't want a sponsor. They want to work an 11-step program. That's fine. I can't do that. I have to work a 12-step program. So because it says on page 89, nothing ensures immunity from drinking like intensive work with other alcoholics, I better take that into consideration, because I need immunity. I want immunity. So I'm not only going to have to eat less, I'm going to do more. And that's where I have fallen down previously. I ate less, but I didn't do more. And doing more doesn't just mean going to more meetings. Doing more doesn't just mean making more outreach calls. I have to get my hands dirty, and I have to sponsor more people than I'm comfortable sponsoring, and stretch myself. It's okay to be a little uncomfortable. I haven't compulsively overeaten in 27 years. I'd rather have the discomfort of a little extra work,
time
putting up with people's bullshit, than have the discomfort of the compulsive overeating. Thanks, Lynn. With that, I'll pass, and to all a good night. Thank you.
Thank you, Harlan G. in Arizona. Anne-Marie M., it's your turn, followed by Kelsey R. Hi, Anne-Marie.
Hey, good morning, Lynn. Good morning, everyone. This is Anne-Marie M. I am in South Carolina and gratefully, through God's grace, recovering from compulsively overeating. I just want to say one thing about today's date. Today is the 15th of the month, and what I do on the 15th of the month is I text Leah, who organizes the people who are moderating and leading the steps and the traditions, and I let her know what my availability is. I do that because, one, I want to keep this meeting going. This meeting has been extremely helpful for me. And I, you know, it's really about 10 or 15 minutes out of the week that I need to put aside. I need to get on the meeting at five of the hour. And by 10 after the hour, I'm done reading the steps of tradition. So, and even to read the paragraphs, 1 hour out of the week, for me to give that to this meeting that has given me so much. So I just wanted to tell you what I do on the 15th of the month. And getting to the paragraph, what I've always, the first time I read the Jaywalker, I identified with the adrenaline rush. You know, the adrenaline rush I saw of him jumping in front of a car, jumping in front of a fire truck. I didn't realize the adrenaline rush I would get out of sneaking the food out of my husband's cupboard. He has a little cupboard that he keeps his sweets in. And then eating them and then getting to the store and buying them and buying an extra box so I can eat it on the way home and replacing it. I got an adrenaline rush, and I didn't recognize that until I read this story. And the craziness, no matter what the consequences were, I would compulsively eat. It not only gave me that adrenaline rush, but the compulsive eating itself was giving me a sense of comfort that I learned from very early on when I first compulsively ate around the age of 8. It gave me some kind of comfort. And that's what I sought for the rest of my life, compulsively overeating, was getting that comfort that I did that first day. Never did I ever get that comfort, but I kept seeking it by continuing to compulsively overeat. And so grateful that God is leading me away from that and I am recovering. And I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Anne-Marie M. Kelsey R., it's your turn, followed by Darian K. Good morning, Kelsey.
Hey, good morning, guys. This is Kelsey R., recovered compulsive reader in Texas. Ugh. On through the 20 years, my conduct continued, accompanied by my continued promises to myself and others to be careful, to keep away from the food altogether. Finally, I can no longer work successfully. I still kept a job, but I was not successful. I could not live up to the ideals that I had with my work. I never got a divorce, but my marriage was so broken, and it's being repaired daily. But what this disease does to every relationship in my life, especially the two most important, my relationship to God and my relationship to myself, it destroys any meaningful level of a relationship, especially with my husband. I tried every known means to get the to get the compulsive eating idea out of my head. I really did. I tried everything, and I meant it. I didn't want to keep picking up, and yet I picked up again. And why do I do this? Why do I jaywalk to the food again and again and again? Because I have a mind that tells me lies, but I believe the lies. That's the problem. My mind takes me on a journey, and I believe the lies. And it's so incomprehensibly uncomfortable to live in that obsessive state that I have to eat again. Like, I have to change the way I feel. And so when I pick up to change the way I feel, I have no idea, but I think I'm going to start tomorrow. I think I'm going to start next month on January 1st. Like, it's November. I'll start again because my history proves that I can start again. So I can stop, but I can't stay stopped on my own power. And that is where I get into a lot of trouble if I believe that I can stop. I'm dog sitting right now. And I called a fellow yesterday because this dog is, like, not trained. It does not walk next to me. It wants to pull. It wants to be in charge. I talked to this fellow, and she's like, hold the dog close. When he pulls, just say, uh-uh. And when he's behaving, raise the dog. And you know what God showed me? Kelsey, honey, you're a dog. Like, let me guide you. And I'm walking this dog, you guys, and it is right next to me. Thank you. So my crosswalk today are these steps. It's taking direction. It's sitting in silence and getting the guidance that I need to show up for life and not pulling on the leash without a pass.
Thank you, Kelsey R. from Texas. Darian K., good morning.
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, everybody. This is Darian K. in the Berkshires in Massachusetts, and very grateful to be on the line today. It's hyperbole, that jaywalker. It's that extreme example that I think is just so amazing, and on purpose, of course. Everything's on purpose. All the words in this book are purposeful. For me, to get to that place in my mind to start to think, what extremes did I take? Crazy extremes did I take? And what kind of success did I have? You know, and also I think of that jaywalking piece, like, there's rules of the road. I think someone had shared that the other day. There's rules in life that we follow. And to put it back to the food addiction, you know, if I had followed the particular diets that were given to me in the days that I were on them, and those quote-unquote rules that these people put together, whether they were nutritional rules or exercise rules, whatever, I would have had success. There would have been success, but I didn't follow them. I tried to get away with murder, literally. They gave you those little sheets that you fill out with the foods that you eat, and you bring in what you eat, and I'm not going to tell you I had this and that and the other thing. I didn't follow the rules. I didn't follow the rules. And did I succeed? No, not at all. I had no real success in any of the diets that I did. And why would I, if I only did it Monday through Thursday anyway, because the weekend really starts on Friday. So, how could I possibly have any success, really? And it was just too much work and effort. I didn't like it. I just didn't follow those rules. And I wanted to just do it my way. And the other thing, too, is I remember, and I share this when I qualify, that I used to think, when I was younger, I would never actually do any of this stuff, but I thought, well, if I went to a starving country and I didn't eat for a while, I could lose weight. Or if I went into the hospital, God forbid, and I went on IV and that's how I got my nutrition, I would lose some weight. Or I hated my legs so much that I wanted to cut them off and I would be in a wheelchair so I could get around, but I, at least I wouldn't have my legs. Those are extremes. That's my Jade walking story. To just think about and remember and bring it into that fresh part of my brain since I've been around for a while and remember that's not where I am today. That's not where I am. And I can have neutrality around the food, and I can have a beautiful program that helps me walk through this life a day at a time with whatever challenges that are going on. And I don't have to turn to any extreme measures to get through the day. I can turn to my higher power and all of you. And I'm so grateful. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you, Darian Kay. And for those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later, just to let you know where we are, we're continuing our study of the big book in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 38, the first paragraph. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once, as it does help me hear everybody. So who else besides Pete? What, I got you, Pete. Thank you.
Beverly R.
Okay, hang on. I think we've got our lineup here. We've got Pete B. We've got Hannah Yetta. And you know what? I just forgot everybody else. Sorry. Who else said their name?
Nancy C.
Thank you.
Judith S. P.
Okay. So we've got
Pete
B. Hannah Yetta, Nancy C., Judith, and who was the last lady, please?
Julie?
Okay. All right, here we go. Pete B., Hannah Yetta, Nancy C., Judith, and Julie. Good morning, Pete. Please press star one, Pete.
Oops, sorry about that. Thanks, Lynn, for taking the meeting. This is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy in Pennsylvania. So what's not existing here for the jaywalker, right? What the jaywalker doesn't have, or what it's not talking about, is this allergy of the body. The jaywalker is an illustration of the obsession of the mind, right? The obsession, the compulsion to do something that is demonstrated to him that is harmful, right? Now, once this fatal aspect of our disease sets in, the greater aspect of our disease, what do you do to fix it? How do you correct it? You know, you might get the thought, well, if I just make enough phone calls, if I just go to enough meetings, I'll reinforce the memory not to go and do that thing that's harmful. Well, that's not what this literature says to do. Right? If I just get a friend that reminds me every day, don't step out off the curb, then I'll stay off the curb. Well, that's a mental defense, and that's human power. And the book is going to tell us that none of those will suffice. We like to use them as reasonable substitutes, and they're not a bad start. What this book is going to tell us is that if we have that condition, that mental component of disease, absence of the allergy of the body, I'm more with the allergy of the body, but if we have it, only a power greater than ourselves will restore us to sanity. Only a power greater than ourselves will keep us from doing that thing that is knowingly harmful. Right? This obsession, this compulsion, binges don't start with a binge. They start with the first bite. We make a decision, either consciously or unconsciously, to pick up a substance that triggers craving, and craving turns into a binge. right? The mental obsession, that has to be removed. Maybe you can work your way through it. I never could. I couldn't work my way through it. I wasn't going to make a phone call and talk me out of it. I wasn't going to inventory something and get me out of it. That release, that being saved, that came from a power greater than myself, which was the only hope, right? Which is what this points to. Right, these steps, they're not designed to prevent my mental obsession. They're designed to connect me to a power greater than myself that will solve my problem. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Pete B. Hanayeta R., it's your turn. Please go ahead. Press star one, Hanayeta. Okay, Nancy C., do you want to go ahead and we'll circle back to Hanayeta, please?
Sure. Thanks, Lynn. Thanks for taking the meeting. Good morning, everyone. Nancy C., gratefully recovered this morning in Michigan. And you know, so appreciate everyone who shares on the line, and we go over and over the book, and this is a study of the big book, and I've learned so much this last time through the Jaywalker that I just want to say it out loud because so many things came to the front of my mind. You know, I am the Jaywalker. I do things over and over again, expecting different results, and a breaker of rules. Rules don't apply to me. They might apply to you, but I can get by without having to do what other people have to do. And as I look at the Jaywalker, first of all, first couple of times through the book, I was like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But now I really understand that when I jaywalk, or when this person jaywalks, he does get a thrill. It's a rush. It's like, I can make it through without getting caught or without getting hit. And as people so eloquently said, you know, the vehicles get bigger and the thoughts get bigger and the time in between gets smaller, and we keep doing it and we keep doing it. But somebody mentioned the other day that those crosswalks are there for a reason, right? These 12 steps tell me when to walk and when to don't walk. And if I can follow those rules for the first time in my life, that obsession of the mind, of telling me that it's okay, I can get through it this time, may not happen if I really do what it says to do in this book. So for me today, the walk, don't walk, it really means something, and it never means anything to me. I can run across, I can still make it. I think today I'm going to pause. When it says don't walk, stop. When it says walk, walk, and see how that helps in my recovery, staying away from that mental twist. Just follow the rules. Follow the big book. It takes me to God if I do that. So I don't know. It was a big aha moment for me and the Jaywalker these last couple of days, and I just wanted to share my outcomes with other people. And thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Nancy C. from Michigan. So Judith, would you like to go ahead,
please? Hanayeta's here.
Well then, Hanayeta, would you like to go ahead?
Yeah, but you can take Judith if you want first.
No, go ahead. Please go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Lynn. I'm so sorry. Thank you for going around me. Something came up. my name is Hanayeta, Chana-Yetta. I'm the only Hanayeta in the directory. I love getting calls. First, I just want to thank all the newcomers that are on the line. To me, you're one of the most important people here because I can't keep what I have unless I give it away, and I want to give it away. So any new people, please give your name out today, newcomers. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Okay, the Jaywalker. Well, I am an adrenaline junkie. Anything that was fattening, illegal, immoral, whatever it was, I wanted to do it because it was exciting, and it was powerful, and it was anything that got my adrenaline going, I loved it. In the 11th step where it says that we won't be, we talk about not being, having excitement, I put in there adrenaline excitement because to me, it's not just being excited. It's okay to be excited. I'd like being excited over my birthday or anniversary or, you know, or bas mitzvah or whatever. I get excited. But this adrenaline excitement is what will get me every time. That I don't want to do what other people say, and I didn't want to do what other people suggested, and I didn't want to follow the rules, and I did want to walk in front of that fire engine because it was exciting, and I thought I could get away with it. And today, I'm so glad that I don't have to live like that. I don't have to live like that. I don't want my life run by adrenaline. I don't want that anymore because God has filtered in my life, and I now rely on Him instead of relying on this energy inside me that wants to do wrong, wants to do bad, wants to be immoral, wants to hurt people because they hurt me. I don't have to do that today. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I can go and do a 10-step. I may have to do 4 of them on the person, but it doesn't matter. Or I can say the acceptance prayer. I can pray for that other person to have good things happen to them. I can't imagine. I did that. I've done that. And sometimes it didn't take 2 weeks. Sometimes it took 2, 4, 6, 8 weeks of the acceptance prayer. But eventually, it went away. And during the time, it got less and less and less. The resentments and the anger and the desire to want to hurt another person, they just go away. They fade. And with this program, it's amazing. My whole life is a miracle. And you know what, guys? Everybody out there has a miracle. Thank you. Everybody else has a miracle. And don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. Thanks, Lynn. Have a good Shabbos, everyone.
Thank you, Hanayeta R. from Plano, Texas. Okay, Judith, it's your turn, followed by Julie. Good morning, Judith.
Good morning, Lynn. My name is Judith S.P., living in Maryland. Very grateful to be a voice in the chorus. You know, as I listen to the shares and as I read the big book, one of the greatest feelings I have is that I do belong and I'm part of an experience that had so much pain and has found a way out of the pain into the light of my loving God. And I was thinking about, I don't travel very much overseas anymore into areas where I don't know the language, but I remember when I used to go to countries and I didn't know the language, and I would ask someone a question because that's the way I get answers. I didn't go to maps or anything. Can you tell me how to get to? And the person would look at me in puzzlement. And then I'd talk a little louder. And they still look puzzled. And then I'd raise my voice. Could you tell me where blah, blah, blah? And they still didn't understand me. Why would I think that somebody who is speaking a different language would understand English no matter what my volume was? And just like the jaywalker, as many have said, I've tried this, that, and the other thing, twirled around, did flips, prayed on my knees, please God, do it for me. And none of it worked. And if someone told me when I was in the depths of my disease, all you have to do, Judith, is trust in a power greater than yourself, I would have given them the flip finger. And I would have walked away. So why has it taken me 60 plus years to finally let my ears be cleaned out enough that I could hear the message? Judith, nothing on your own, O-W-N, doesn't work. It's time to let go, have your gratitudes, accept, and surrender. I heard that the other day, and then I got in touch with the initials, G-A-S. I need to gas up. When my engine, my heart, my soul, my body, whatever it is on empty, I have got to gas up. I've got to look at what is going right in my life, accept truly what is happening, and surrender. The only way I can gas up is with the direction and the power of a source greater than Judith. Judith is here, thank you, God, but I am here as your child, doing service one moment at a time. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Judith S.P. And Julie, I'm so sorry, but we have run out of time. Perhaps you could hang around for the next meeting. Anyway, thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you to Team Friday. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for this morning, Friday, May the 15th, the 7 a.m. meeting is 23463. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Jane S., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, it would be an honor. My name is Jane S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. I pass.